Good morning, folks. Welcome back and happy Friday. It is, of course, Friday morning time to take a look back at the week and all of the latest sets of lies and sometimes even lies being revealed. And I guess the question that I want to throw out before we start is how much longer are the American dumbed-down populace going to take what they're being force-fed? And it really is getting to the point where you wonder how stupid do people have to drink this Kool-Aid. In any case, we got David Justice online. Randy is once again otherwise occupied, unfortunately, but we'll have him back here real soon, hopefully next weekend. In any case, David, good morning, and there is so much on the table this morning. Where would you like to start as we kind of unravel this mess?
Well, you know what I really want to do is, I, as usual, I like to tie things together into a nice, neat bow, hoping that people will distinguish the truth, recognizing the propaganda and the lies. And so this a prime story that I like to start with is this one here in Colorado. Tina Peters, the candidate for Secretary of State, has alleged fraud in her primary bid. She raises the money, that $256,000 or whatever amount, to challenge the other candidate's victory. What she's claiming is that the votes were switched. But anyway, I want to distinguish this. I pulled up an article from the Sentinel. Right out of the block here, I want to call everyone's attention. Listen to this. Right off the block, election conspiracy theorist and Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters will get a recount after all, Colorado officials announced Thursday. Now, listen, just the fact that they started the thing, election conspiracy theorist. This is supposed to be a news article, and instead they're marginalizing her character right out of the blocks, which tells us that, and this is the big lie, and this is the amazing one. Before I get into that, Scripture says that there's a time coming when that even the very elect could be deceived because the delusion shall be so great. And there's another Scripture that says that the delusion shall be so great because people refuse to love the truth, and so they believe a lie. Well, right here, we have evidence inside this report that this particular media outlet is involved in the propaganda, is involved in the lie. They can't just come out and say Tina Peters successfully gained the money to be able to do a hand recount, a recount. But they have to throw in the propaganda. They have to throw in a narrative that they throw in the twist right there in the beginning. And if we become aware of that, when we become aware of that, we'll begin to be able to help other people see the same thing. And so I want to tie in the conversation every time we talk about a story to see if we can find the propaganda. Anyway, thanks for having me on again, Mark. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's good to have you here, and there's lots to talk about. Let's dig just a teeny bit deeper into this, because honestly, it's not enough to say that Tina Peters exposed the fraud in Mesa County and was literally persecuted afterwards for having dared to try to get a hold of the actual data from the Dominion voting machines. What else? That is supposed to, by law, be kept anyway, but they were going in and destroying it. So for daring to do her job, they came after. Then she ran for Secretary of State, and she had a huge lead. This is the part that I doubt your story there, because I haven't looked at that one, but I doubt it made a big deal about. She had a 15-point lead on her closest competitor for the primary, essentially a CTCL is the name of this company. It's a Zuckerberg company. And so you know that she's essentially what she is. So let's just leave it at that. But she had a huge 15-point lead before the primary. And then Shazam, all of a sudden, she lost by 20 full points. And a dark horse, number three, that nobody ever heard of, an Australian businessman, somehow managed to get from nothing to 28% of the vote. So there was multiple aspects to the chicanery here. It's as stinky as it gets, and she ended up raising at least about as much money as her alleged competitor garnered in the whole race. Even the leftists were picking on Pam Anderson because she didn't have any money. She was virtually bankrupt. She wasn't running a very good campaign. Somehow, though, she managed to win. And yet, Tina Peters raised more money from honest constituents to have a recount than the winner did during the whole campaign. And now people are saying, oh, you know, imagine this. The good news is she was on Steve Bannon's show. She actually claimed, and maybe she's a bit rosy glasses oriented this way, but she said this will bring down their evil empire. She is thankful that people are arising and seeing what's going on and trying to fight back. And by the way, I'm going to throw out one more story, and I'll go back to you, David. The 83% of Americans in a recent Rasmussen poll this week suggest that they're worried about fraud in the midterm elections. 83% of Americans do not trust the scum and the scam that they're seeing. And that speaks volumes, too.
Well, the thing, and here's another really important thing. Since the election that Trump's in 2020 election, Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold decided to change the rules. And so what she did was she issued new rules preventing hand recounts, which was the old rule. So Tina was originally wanting to have a hand recount, but because of the new rules, we have to have a machine recount. So that was why Tina, even though she had the money, she was arguing for a hand recount. She didn't get it. She got the machine recount. And the idea that we're going to go right back to the machine that performed the original count in the first place is, well, if Tina is right, which I believe she is, because I've read the forensic audits, she put out three of them, it really would bring the entire system down. So is axiomatic. Of course she had to lose, and of course they're going to do a machine recount, and because the magnitude of what she's dealing with is large enough to bring down the Dominion voting machine, which is operated in most of the countries of the planet, Mark.
What do you say at this point, David? The mind boggles, and people basically just kind of shake their heads and say, the corruption is no longer hidden. It's so in your face. And I've said this now for months. How much more in your face can it get? Answer. When you're swimming in it is where they're evidently headed. I'm going to throw out two more different stories. Entirely different subjects, but ultimately it's all the same. FBI whistleblowers this week. This is from Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. FBI whistleblowers have come forward to him and revealed that the crooks at the FBI, the leadership there, the scumbags that have been literally destroying this organization for a long time, are now pressuring agents to artificially pad, in other words, to lie about the statistics and call things that are not terrorism, domestic terrorism, and of course, because it's all white supremacists, don't you know, they are padding the numbers and the data in order to push the official great big stinking lie. And this is how In a letter to so-called Director Chris Wray, Jordan said, given the narrative being pushed by the Biden administration that DVE, domestic violence extremism, is the greatest threat facing our country. What, you mean even more than having sold it out to the communist Chinese? The revelation that the FBI may be artificially padding domestic terrorism data is scandalous. And he's right, and that's an understatement. Go ahead.
Yeah. We have to keep in mind that the reason for the alleged pandemic, the reason for the election fraud, was to cover up the crimes against humanity. It was again axiomatic that they had to have the pandemic. They had to force vaccines on people. They had to have a corrupt election so that they could continue to maintain their propaganda and their lie. What's at stake here is a matter of life and death. This is a matter of heaven or hell on earth. These people represent hell on earth, and they have been working at this for, I don't know, since the damage control began when they took Christ out of they covered up the resurrection. The damage control began thousands of years ago. And now all that work, all that manipulation, all that propaganda, all that sleight of hand, all those lies is being it's being revealed. And so we're living in the day of opportunity for the truth to really conquer evil. And so, yes, they're going to lie about everything, and the lies are becoming so increasingly obvious they can no longer obfuscate the truth. So, yes, what we're about to witness and what we are witnessing is the magnitude of the lies is going to continue to increase, and as people escape from the delusion because they can no longer buy into it, you know, we're actually living in the day of what I consider the mental battle of Armageddon. People are having to choose sides, Mark.
It's, and you'd think it would be obvious. And let me throw out one more story that's, again, different topic, but it certainly fits here. This is from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. It's not the central point that he was making, but he's asking, will American medical science follow the same path of destruction as the economy? Because essentially, they're no longer capable of telling the truth either. You got doctors. Now, they don't even take a Hippocratic oath anymore, but the few that may remember that far back, first do no harm, and essentially the idea is you're supposed to take care of the patient as opposed to making sure that your medical license doesn't get revoked and you don't get silenced for having actually spoken the truth. Well, this week, as Dr. Roberts puts it, corruption rules everywhere. The American Board of Internal Medicine decided to strip the board certification of one of the best doctors on planet Earth and one of the most well-published and respected, Dr. Peter McCullough. He has come out and, of course, said that a lot of things that are going on are chicanery. But in particular, he had the temerity to cure COVID patients using booga, 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 the verboten horse paste ivermectin. So for curing patients, the ABIM has now stripped him, one of the most accomplished doctors in the world, of his license for spreading misinformation. And, you know, this what do you say, David? This is so above the beyond the pale that it just plain boggles the mind, literally.
Well, when they've turned truth into a lie, they've made black white. We're living in a day when they're so they have to control using force and propaganda. Those are their primary tools, and gaslighting, and they're banking on doctors going along to get along out of fear that they'll lose their place. Now, Dr. McCullough had the audacity to tell the truth, and here's evidence for those of us with eyes to see and ears to hear. That's the evidence that we need to help us stand for whatever truth we're standing for. And everybody is living in a world, and everybody has different circumstances, but everybody has opportunities within their respective worlds to stand for a truth. So let this guy, you know, it's a badge of honor. But we have to recognize that the regime that has brought him down, because he refuses to go along with a narrative, a propaganda, that is a badge of honor for anyone willing to stand for the truth. And we can expect more of that. But in the end, the more we stand, the more they disintegrate, Mark.
Well, that's a good point. And we need to keep doing that. We need to keep letting people know exactly how far gone things are. Here's one more story. This one's almost farcical, but it's from one of the once at least respected media outlets, Associated Press. They've come out with a new topical guide, and this is basically the equivalent of saying, "Hey, here's what your reporters are supposed to say when you spin the news." It's for transgender coverage, their style manual. And they are urging media reporters, journalists, and writers to, adopt whatever the latest lingo is that describes people's personal sexual perversions, their gender pronoun. It calls for, quote, unbiased language to be used in articles, meaning that every trans pronoun, including they, used in grammatically incorrectly as a singular pronoun, is to be inserted into articles about transgender so as not to offend them through misgendering. Let me tell you something, Dave. If somebody comes up to me and says, "What's your pronoun?" I'm going to say, "Are you You know, that's offensive to me. How dare you offend me by not being able to tell them what my pronoun is? This is how stupid things have gotten. It's not just and I use that word stupid, it seems like, a lot lately. How stupid do people have to be to play along with this? Go ahead.
Well, people are vested. They're vested in their career. They're vested in their lifestyle. They're vested in, you know, their position, their money. And the fear of losing that, the fear of being ostracized or set aside from the crowd, that's the weapon that the dark side is using against. They've weaponized our own minds against us. So the thoughts and the ideas of our minds are now weapons. You can't talk, you can't speak, unless you're doing it according to a particular format that the dark side has already regulated. Now, this is evidence in and of itself that America has already been taken over. The fact that this kind of nonsense is being spewed out by alleged people in positions of authority, when they're actually criminals defending their crimes against humanity, this is what people's need to get their mind around and realize that their war right now is in your mind. And there's a scripture in Corinthians that talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but spiritual, for the tearing down of strongholds and taking into captivity every vain imagination. That's where the war is right now, and that's where you and I come in to distinguish the enemy's folly. Thanks, Mark.
Okay. Well, and let's put one more on the table, because it's encouraging, I guess, on the other hand, to see that even some pretty well-known, high-profile leftists, I have mentioned Dr. Naomi Wolf for a number of weeks now, because she was a pretty much knee-jerk leftist, brought up that way, has described her own journey, the Haight-Ashbury-type leftist. And is now beginning to see so many things on so many fronts, from the Second Amendment to a book that she's written exposing the level of tyranny and attempted murder, genocide, really, when it comes to the COVID not vaccines. But this is another one. This is a piece came out this week. Now, he actually, too, has at least been indicating that when it comes to the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, he doesn't like the Second Amendment, but he's able to recognize what the text says. Professor Jonathan Turley, professor of law, constitutional scholar at Harvard, I believe was where he was last, and is pretty been writing for years. Anyway, he has written this week a piece about the scandal, to put it mildly, the chicanery, the corruption of the Biden crime family. New disclosures, it says, demolish Biden's denials of his dealings with Hunter. The claim that he had no knowledge, nothing to do with his son's business interests. Now there are emails after emails reviewed by Fox and the UK's Daily Mail. At least 14 of Hunter Biden's business associates while he was vice president. They include pictures. Got to have your picture taken with the vice president if you're, passing the bribes. They cast further doubt, says Turley, on the president's on the fake president's repeated claims that he had no knowledge whatsoever. Now, you can almost believe him when he says he's ignorant and stupid. But in this particular case, no, there's something else going on here of the business dealings. The quote is, "I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings. I did not have sex with that overseas businesswoman." These denials have continued, even though now there's an audio tape showing Biden leaving a message for Hunter, specifically discussing these dealings. And as Turley says, hey, some of us have written for 2 years about how his denial of all of this is false. Now, here's the part where I think he is still drinking a bit of Kool-Aid. Indeed, he says it's baffling how the so-called Attorney General Merrick Garland can ignore all the myriad of references to Joe Biden, refuse to appoint a special counsel. Come on, he is there for one reason. It's to cover up the criminality, and that's the point. Go ahead.
Well, okay, so again, what we're dealing with is crimes against humanity. So the government has been infiltrated from within. The cronies they're occupying the structure and the framework of American government, which is, according to the Constitution, is guaranteed to be a Republican form of government. But we have criminals occupying positions in the seats of power, and they know that you're innocent until proven guilty. So what they're doing is they're picking and choosing the parts of the Constitution that benefit them, but the parts that don't benefit them, they're ignoring. But that's okay, because you're only guilty if you're found guilty by a jury of your peers. And that's why they're saying, well, you know, Trump's election lies, only because it hasn't been brought to a court and adjudicated yet. And so they're gambling on the fact that they can finish the race before the issue ever gets heard, and therefore their propaganda reigns supreme rather than the truth. Those of us that see the truth and know there was election fraud and know that Merrick Garland is really covering up for the crime family that is now running the world, and Joe Biden, although he may have been mob boss at one time, has been reduced to puppet, who's being run by a committee of puppet masters. Those of us that see it, we're crazy because we haven't proven that in a court of law. So they're using the guilt, innocent before proven guilty principle to obfuscate the truth while they continue their march toward their totalitarian dictatorship, Mark.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask a question. We'll come back and we'll talk about this in the next segment. But certainly there were some other news items that that we need to toss out on the table, but I want to get to the question, and that has to do with just how much are Americans going to put up with, and how you know, when did they know and when did they figure it out? I asked this on the Come Out of Her My People show last night. You know, did the Russians during the Soviet era, did they realize what a really nasty, evil guy Joseph Stalin was? How about the Chinese under Mao? Now, some of the farmers, and a lot of those of the tens of millions that he killed, they eventually figured out he was a really nasty, evil guy. But, of course, they weren't allowed to talk about it. Now, that might sound familiar, because Americans, if they talk about it, if they try to petition the government for a redress of grievance, they end up in an American gulag, and they end up the January 6th fate awaits them, and they know it. But it's interesting to do some comparisons and ask yourself, well, were the Russians really duped? And I think the answer is no. Now, it may be a little bit different in Nazi Germany, because at least, unlike Joe Biden, the Führer there, Adolf, was actually elected at one point. And the German people probably were duped. Hitler was at least a far better speaker than the Biden Führer is. But when you step back and you look at history, I think that question kind of ought to ring out now through the decades, if not the centuries at us, and that is, how stupid do people have to be to put up with this, or is it just that they're completely cowed and afraid to speak at all? And when we come back, I want to I'll just mention it briefly, but I was inclined to take a look at Scripture and King Ahab. You know, you look up evil king in a Bible concordance, you'll find a picture of King Ahab. Certainly this guy has quite the reputation, and yet it was fascinating to me and kind of disgusting to see that there isn't much written about what the people that lived under Ahab and his evil wife Jezebel, what they were thinking about this. Were they really going along with all the Baal worship and so forth? Well, the closest we get is the story of Elijah and the priests of Baal, and that's kind of illuminating. But I'll throw that out. Let's go to break on what you want to say as we head out, David.
Well, yeah. I really would like to bring in institutional Christianity as being culpable in this big picture, because the dogma and the propaganda that is put out by the institutional church itself is a cause for people both leaving and interest in following the Gospels, and they're culpable for driving people to the far dark side to try to find the truth, and ending up getting caught in the labyrinth of confusion. So the modern institutional church is very, very much a player in this.
All right, we are at the break. We will be back after this.
I see the bad moon.
Welcome back, folks, to the Drive Time Friday Show. This is Mark Call. We got David Justice online with us again this morning. We're talking about the things that are going on in the world, and I think where we kind of left it, David, is the mind boggles, and I am certainly sensitive to the fact that I suspect a lot of listeners are thinking the same things we are. How stupid has the world gotten? How blind do people have to be not to see this? There are, again, open discussions. Let's bring back the masks. Let's make sure we know who all the really, really Kool-Aid drinking idiots are, because they'll wear those masks regardless. And since their brains have already been addled for lack of oxygen, they'll probably go right back and put them on again. Some of them are still wearing them. People that will wear masks, David, I guess they will probably drink the Kool-Aid and put up with about anything. And maybe that's what we're seeing here. It does. For the rest of us, though, we shake our heads, we wonder, and the question keeps coming up, what's it going to take? Did people really not realize what evil folks were running their show, whether it's King Ahab or Stalin or Mao or Pol Pot or Biden? Go ahead.
Well, I think in hindsight, it's easy to see the tyrants in hindsight. While we're in it, only if you see it. And the why is the propensity of people to desire acceptance. I want to be acceptance. I want to be acknowledged. So people have a propensity to find a crowd that they identify with, and so they can be somebody in that crowd. And it's a matter of reputation. And Yeshua, he pointed that out. He said, "Blessed are you when all men revile you and persecute you for in the same way they treated the prophets." When you come out and tell the truth in a totally delusional environment, it's a revolutionary act. And that was George Orwell that wrote that in his book. So the truth is extremely harmful to a narrative, which is why the truth is always the first casualty of war. So once the truth has been successfully subjugated to the propaganda, and the people are now looking at propaganda as though it's truth, the people can be controlled in their mind by controlling the crowd. So they get control of the crowd to control the individual, and pretty soon the crowd buys into a mob mentality where all they need is to have the majority of the crowd buy it, and then the minority of the crowd will go along with it. And so this is what we're dealing with. And we have masters of mind control, people that live and work inside think tanks to propagate the lies that maintain control of this artificial environment within which we're living right now, Mark.
All right. Well, let's mention a couple of other things that kind of indicate one, the level of persecution of people that are trying to speak out. As most folks are probably aware, Steve Bannon was found guilty of contempt of Congress late last week for defying the idiotic, unconstitutional, House Committee on Un-American Affairs, or House Committee Pushing Un-American Affairs, the January 6th Committee. And I have to say it, anybody that's not in contempt of Congress is probably not paying attention. And even what was funny was Tulsi Gabbard, who is a well-known, she ran for president, but at least as a leftist, she doesn't know squat about economics, but she recognizes a rail job when she sees it, and she spoke up and said, "Hey, this is a sham." She pointed out that Comey and Clapper both lied obviously, directly, blatantly to Congress. Nothing happened to them. Eric Holder, Mr. Fast and Furious, he was held in contempt of Congress. Nothing happened to him. But how dare Bannon invoke executive privilege for a sitting president and gonna hang him from the yardarms? Go ahead.
Well, and of course we had Fauci. Rand Paul recommended criminal prosecution for Fauci for lying to Congress. So clearly we have a double standard. And again, it really is consistent. If you step back far enough to see what we're dealing with here, crimes against humanity on the left and on the right is a desire to just be left alone and live in a free state, which is ultra conservatism, which is what America is founded upon. Rugged individualism. And so the narrative control is merely there to buy time, I don't know, these guys, the evil side of this equation, it's almost like they've got something up their sleeve. If they can just buy another week, if they can just buy another month, another few months. And so they're blatantly violating all of the principles of constitutional law. Why? So that they can buy more time, and people are coming out. And here's the other weapon, okay? Like Dr. Peter McCullough. He comes out and tells the truth. And so to teach the crowd a lesson, you will be punished if you go outside the status quo Overton window that is acceptable conversation. You will be outed. Is that what you want? This is no different when the people that were following Yeshua were being put out of the temple. They didn't want to be put out of the temple, so they didn't want to follow the Messiah because it was too dangerous, Mark.
What was it King Solomon said? There ain't nothing new under the sun. What has been done is what shall be done. And we're seeing another indication on that score, too. Let me throw out one more story, and I think this is kind of one of the many elements of where all this heads. We've talked about this before. The not hidden agenda here is to kill as many people as they possibly can. That has been the point of the poison poke all along. It has certainly been the case with all the people that they intend to kill through famine. And there was a story that came out from Dr. Mercola earlier this week about the elitist goal, and this is clear, to wipe out the food supply. We've seen how Biden has destroyed the energy economy, diesel fuel oils, things that are necessary to keep trucks and trains and locomotives running. All of those are being deep sixed. The energy independence of the country is being destroyed. They're selling millions upon millions of barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve that was supposed to be put in place in the event of an emergency. No, not one that was created by an idiot masquerading as president, but a real emergency like a war, which they're jonesing for, too. On every front, what we're seeing is an attempt to destroy the economy, and now we're going to have a poor harvest in the fall. The crops that do get harvested that weren't already plowed under will probably not be able to be delivered to markets because of problems with diesel fuel and trucks and trains and so forth. Anyway, Mercola's story was this. This is almost funny by comparison. The globalist plan, and there is a new something put together. This is called the Food Compass, released by a leftist organization masquerading as it's called the Friedman School of Nutrition Science and Policy. And they have put together a new ranking system, and it's designed to discourage consumption of animal foods by falsely rating them as unhealthy and encouraging consumption of highly processed crap masquerading as food by giving them high nutritional ratings. You get this. The Food Compass rates frosted mini wheats as being 3 times healthier than ground beef, with a score of 87 out of 100 compared to 26 for ground beef. Oh, they love the idea of having you eat bugs and worms, too, and so forth. I'll say it again, David. How stupid do people have to be to put up with this? And basically, they're talking about processed oils, canola, and soybean oils, how wonderful it all is. And essentially, Dr. Mercola's point, ultra-processed food and diets like that lead to an early grave. You name it. People are drinking the Kool-Aid. Go ahead.
Means, I want to distinguish means and ends. We're dealing with an enemy here. The end, their agenda is total global dominance by the use of force to control. The means to that end, any means possible. Because the end justifies the means. The starvation, the manipulation, the propaganda, the death jab, the food control, all these are means to the end, which is to control chaos with the use of force. So they justify what they're doing so they can have their globalist communist mob one world order, which is really an order of propaganda. It's not order at all. It's a new world control. They call it new world order, just like everything else. They're lying even in what they call it. But the agenda is total control by the use of force and any force necessary to maintain that control. The enemy are the oligarchs, the elite of this planet, as Randy likes to call them, the rich men of the earth. the demons in men's bodies, but it's not complicated. It's every tyrant. You look through history, their fear was insecurity, and their means of controlling that insecurity was the use of, well, I got to control my environment, and so by any means necessary, whether it be manipulation or deception or con or whatever, they use all of the mental tools, all the propaganda tools, and all of the military tools at their disposal to secure their ultimate control, which is their agenda, Mark.
Okay. Well, where do you want to go? There's so many other things we could talk about, so many things we probably need to talk about. But on that score, I mean, you got any more points you want to make that that we absolutely have to talk about today?
I don't. Let's just keep bringing out the news and showing the people how it's all related to manipulation.
Okay.
It's all related to ultimate control.
The other one that folks have probably heard about by now, the Fed's Open Market Committee, the great, as they like to think of themselves, I suspect, the gods of Mount Olympus have spoken, and they have said, we're going to have to raise rates another 0.75 point, so a 75 basis point rate hike earlier in the week, and as just about every economist that's got half a brain and been demonstrating it for a while has pointed out, it's too little too late. It's not going to do it. Eventually, they're going to have to reverse course because they're going to destroy the economy. You know, the old saying is back up until you hear glass breaking, and the glass is already breaking. It was funny to me how many stories I saw basically ridiculing the Fed at this point and realizing that they're on a sinking ship and they don't know where to go, what to do.
Well, they've set up a Ponzi scheme, and the Ponzi scheme is basically it's a pyramid scheme, and where the people that come in last, they're the losers. Well, look at our generation of young people today; they can't even afford to buy a house because this inflationary curve has gone exponential, and so young people are now they're coming into the market and they're getting hit smack with a wall. They can't buy in anymore, and so the Fed, which has been total manipulation and control of the financial system, again, means to an end so that they can control the people so that they can end up having total control. Here it's coming to an end. They can't sustain it. So there, yes, you know, we've talked about Klaus Schwab many times on this show, how there needs to be some sort of reset because the financial system it's not sustainable. So here's the scary scenario, and we like to talk about scary scenarios on this show. What about AI, and what about how AI, artificial intelligence, is evolving? You know, if the people are stupid because they use deductive reasoning and garbage in, garbage out, and their mental capacity is such that they can't find their way out of this delusion, here comes AI, and AI is extremely intelligent, and they use the deductive reasoning process, and, you know, there's a lot of talk now about the consciousness of AI and the ethical question of whether, you know, we need to recognize AI as a living person with rights. So now we're coming into this perfect storm where Klaus Schwab and the people to the elites of the planet want a great reset. And, they're moving toward digital currency. And, of course, you know, even scripture talks about a time where you can't buy or sell unless you buy in by accepting the mark of the beast, which is ultimately, you know, 20 years ago, nearly inconceivable that it could come to some sort of mechanical, electrical, technological means to provide that for that mark. But here we are looking at a great reset and a collapse of the financial system. And in order to keep this thing together, we may have to actually go with AI, which brings Christians to a precipice that they never thought they'd have to be facing, because we all thought we were going to get raptured out of this mess and that Jesus was going to come and save us. But you know what, Mark? What do you got to say about that?
Well, we didn't all think that we were going to be raptured out. Some of us could actually read the book when we first started reading the book and realize he never says that. In fact, he says the opposite. Remember the where he's talking in Matthew 24. Two men will be doing this, and two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, the other left behind. Well, guess what? If you read the story and recognize he's talking outright about what's going on, it's those that are left behind. Just like Noah, as he says in the same sequence, was left behind. The ones that were left behind were the ones that were saved, not the ones that got beamed up. So it's not like we didn't all recognize some of the truth here. You said it up front, David. There is a no shortage of scripture that says, and I like to quote Isaiah 66, because when I called, no one answered, because they chose that in which I did not delight. Literally, I'm going to bring their fears upon them. I'll blind them. I'll let them believe the lie. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And it's frustrating. This is, I think, the reason why I sound somewhat inarticulate at times, because I look at what's going on and I just go, you've got to be kidding me. How stupid can people be? And the answer is, he's blinded them.
Yeah, well, you know, okay, so I really appreciate that. I totally agree with you. Like my mom, she didn't buy into the whole rapture theory. So I was actually raised in a house where, you know, I was questioning that from a very early age. And you're right, scripture is very clear if you read it from an objective rather than a subjective point of view, which is how all scripture should be read, is objectively, because the objective of the scripture is to help us find the truth. And the truth is the commodity. It's this more than a commodity. The truth is is not just an idea. It's not just a philosophy. There's only one way, one truth, one. Small gate, narrow road. You know, there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the tree of the narrative and the subjective reality that's projected onto the truth. And there's an infinite number of those that are happening on the planet. And so many people have bought into their little personal narrative. And here's the problem with institutional Christianity is it's trapped us inside the subjective reality, the subjective dogma that has become Christianity, which is an imposter Christianity. And inherent in that imposter Christianity is this idea of the rapture, which disempowers everyone that buys into it. So they sit on the sideline waiting for somebody else to come and take care of it. That's the problem, is that because we've bought into a dogma, we can't see the truth because we're stuck in the prison of our own making, or I shouldn't say our own making, because the priests of this planet have been in control of this propaganda for thousands of years, and nothing has changed. It's all the same. Mark, run. Go for it.
You're right. It's all the same. We've seen it before. There's nothing new under the sun. Okay, well, we've got about 5 minutes left. I think where I want to go finally, David, is, I mentioned this all, and I spent the last part of the Come Out of Her, My People show describing it, but I went through the story of King Ahab, and you notice at the fateful encounter where the prophet Elijah confronts the priests of Baal, and they're going to both build a pyre and wait to see which fake god or real god answers by bringing down fire from heaven. And it's a funny story, and I really love reading it. But in any case, Elijah asks the question of the people, hey, if God be God, serve him. If Baal is God, well, then serve him. And you remember the answer? They didn't say a thing. They sat there like dumb bumps on a log. People answered him, it says, not a word. And it wasn't until Yah brought fire from heaven that they finally figured it out. And then Elijah says, go grab them, don't let one escape. And they went and they took care of the priests of Baal, of Baal. We don't have an Elijah today, obviously. We don't have a direct communication, and I think part of the reason is because the judgment that we're seeing is well deserved. It's been earned over a long period of time, and Yah is bringing the delusion. He's going to let people follow it through. So we have we've kind of laid out some things. I mentioned the famine. People need to be aware of what's coming. We've seen the economic meltdown. Those that have been paying attention have had opportunity, whether they have or not, to prepare for that and to be aware of it. Gold and silver prices have been suppressed. They were actually up a little bit towards the end of this week. Paper gold and silver. You still have to pay a lot more to get the real stuff. But we frequently end by talking about things people can do. Knowing there's a famine coming, knowing the level of lies and deception, knowing that the economic system has been brought to its knees, what can those who have not yet prepared or those that are dealing with neighbors or friends that are finally waking up, what can we do in these last remaining, who knows how long we've got, hours, days, before the remainder of the stuff hits the fan?
I'm going to say this. That's such a good question. I'm going to say this. I'm going to go way out on a limb. Believe in the miraculous. You know, we are the children of the Most High God. You said there's no Elijahs. Yes, there are. And I'm calling all you Elijahs out there to stand up. There's 7,000 that haven't bent their knee to Baal. There are many Elijahs within the true church, which is the one, Ecclesia, the called out ones that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are a temple, and our Father lives in us, and our only limitation is our own imagination. The vanity of our imaginations, to the degree that we've bought into the lies, is the degree that we're limited in our imagination. Now, Jesus said, all things are possible for those who believe, and nothing will be impossible for those who believe. So this is the time when the true, the de jure, the body of the Messiah comes together as a people and believes in the impossible. And without fear, standing in the place where angels fear to tread, because that's what we're called to be. We are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And if we're not being that, it's why we're being defeated both individually and as a collective. Now, we know in the end we win. So why not make the end now rather than some future tense reality? Because Jesus, remember, he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said all things are possible. And he was talking in the present tense. And so I want to encourage everyone that has any doubt and any fear to mitigate those things by really coming into the reality of who it is we are and what it is we're called to be on this planet, and realize that now is the time, just like Elijah, when he took upon the lawyers. Yes, in the day, the lawyers were the priests of Baal. Today's lawyers are the priests of this globalist mind blank that I'm not going to dignify with an adjective. We are the remedy. We just have to apply it individually and in the collective, however it pans out, because the Christ, the Mashiach within us, is our hope of glory, Mark.
Okay, well, what do we say after that? You actually wrap things up about 45 seconds early. Let me see if I can't summarize this, some other things. Now, this part I've said a number of times, come out of her, my people, that still applies. Certainly for the last few weeks, I have been encouraging folks, understand too, that we're told not to keep silent. We're supposed to blow the shofar, the watchman on the wall. Well, that's us too. You're right. I don't know that I would claim to have the ability to do the things that an Elijah did, but we can certainly speak the message of the prophets, which is make teshuva, turn around. When you realize you're going the wrong way, and if you don't by now, you're probably going to just walk off the cliff. When you realize you're going the wrong way, you turn around. We're supposed to be able to give an account for the things, for the hope that's within us, the things we believe. That is important too. All of these things, in other words, it's not enough at this point just to prepare, but we need to make sure that we are able to deal with others and to help others who are beginning to realize what's going to happen and are asking questions. Well, let's be able to give them an answer. And that takes us to the end of the show for today. So thanks again, David. Shabbat shalom, folks.